Eddie, the sophomore year. Chapter 7. Summer Break, Part 2. The day of the big rematch arrives, and everyone heads to the pool in the afternoon. Eddie and Kathy are hanging out in the water, waiting for the others to arrive. Eddie knows that he performs better in cooler weather, so he does not want to get overheated by staying in the sun too long. Tessa is already there, and just hanging out at a table with a few others. Eddie reminds Kathy, "We have to get Erika in the pool somehow today." Kathy mentions, "Well, the pool is not too crowded right now. So, maybe we can get the lifeguard to shut the pool down for us for a few minutes." Kathy looks over at the lifeguard and tells Eddie, "Hey, the lifeguard today is Lena Borg. She's in my class, and she's on the swimming team." Eddie asks, "How well do you know her?" Kathy replies, "We've known each other since grade school. I've seen her here at the pool a few times before." Kathy goes over to talk with Lena, explaining, "Eddie and Tessa want to swim a 100-yard race. They are doing the freestyle." Kathy asks Lena, "Would it be possible to close the pool down for a few minutes so that they can race?" Lena explains to Kathy, "Well, I'm supposed to get a 5-minute break every hour, and I can close the pool. Andrea can be the starter if she's not busy doing something else." Kathy replies, "Awesome." Lena asks, "How many people are swimming in the race?" Kathy replies, "2, but we have plans for a third." Lena, knowing Tessa from the swimming team, asks, "Hey, do you care if I swim in the race too?" Truth be told, Lena sees Tessa swimming every day and wants to know where she stands compared with Tessa. Kathy replies, "Sure. No problem. I'm sure they'll be glad to have you swim with them." Lena replies, "Awesome. Just give me about a 10-minute warning before the race." Kathy dives back into the pool and swims over to Eddie. Kathy tells Eddie, "We're on. She's going to close the pool for us, and she wants to swim in the race too." Eddie replies, "Now we have to figure out how to get Erika in the water." Kathy suggests, "Let's go work on that now." Eddie informs Kathy, "I have a plan. We'll tell Erika she has to compete because it's some tribe rule or something." Kathy replies, "Yeah. We'll tell her it's part 2 of her initiation." Eddie and Kathy formulate a plan and get their script down. They swim over to the side, get out of the pool, and head to the tables where everyone is hanging out. Kathy exclaims to the group, "Hey, everyone. Lena is going to close the pool down for us for the race." Kathy also mentions, "Lena wants to swim in the race too. Since there are 6 lanes, we can have 3 more swimmers." Eddie mentions, "2 more swimmers." Pretending to be puzzled, Kathy asks, "2 more? Why only 2 more? How do you mean?" Eddie replies, "Erika's initiation is incomplete. She's never competed against anyone in the tribe." Kathy exclaims, "That's right." No one dares to question Eddie and Kathy. They know they are up to something. This group knows each other very well. Not even Bobby B says anything. Surprisingly, Erika agrees to swim in the race. Kathy tells everyone, "Okay, we need 2 more swimmers." Wendy, who is also part of the group, mentions, "Well, I know I'll be found out sooner or later. I've never competed either." Kathy whispers to Eddie, "Wow. That worked better than expected. With 5 lanes accounted for, 1 more person can swim, but no one volunteers." Kathy asks everyone, "So, is everyone ready?" Eddie replies, "Let's go for it." Kathy goes over to Lena, telling her, "Everyone is ready, so we can start whenever you want." Lena tells Kathy, "Okay. I'll let Andrea know. Get everyone warmed up and ready." Kathy goes back over to the group and finds out that Mark is also going to swim in the race. There are now 6 swimmers in the competition. Kathy tells those who will be competing, "Everyone warm up. Lena is getting ready herself." Kathy, Paula, and Barbara decide that they will be the officials, like in the old days when they were Mr. Fraser's team assistants. Andrea agrees to be the starter, since she has a nice loud whistle. Lena blows her whistle and tells everyone in the pool that the pool will be closed for 5 minutes for a race. Everyone leaves the pool as the swimmers pick a lane. Eddie is in lane 3 and Tessa in lane 4, since this is their race. The swimmers line up at the deep end and Lena joins them, all ready to race. Andrea announces, "Lena tells me you are track athletes. In swimming, we announce, 'Take your mark,' and then the signal is given to start the race. There is no set command as there is in track. After I say, 'Take your mark,' I will wait until everyone is in position, and then I will blow my whistle to start the race. If someone is not ready, I will announce, 'Stand.'" Wasting no time, Andrea announces, "Take your mark." Wendy is not in position, so Andrea tells everyone, "Stand. Hold on a second." Andrea explains to Wendy, who is unfamiliar with swimming, the starting position. Andrea again announces, "Take your mark." Once everyone is ready, Andrea blows her whistle, starting the race. The six swimmers dive into the water. Eddie and Tessa are fighting it out, both swimming at a slightly faster pace than they did 2 weeks ago. Lena, in lane 1, much to Kathy's and Paula's surprise, is leading the field. Eddie, in second place, has a slight lead over Tessa. Eddie, aware of how Tessa caught up at the end of the last race, seemingly puts enough force into his flip turn to crack the concrete pool wall. After the first turn, Eddie has gained a better advantage over Tessa. During the second lap, Tessa closes in on Eddie's lead, but is not quite able to catch him. Lena is still in first place and slightly widens her lead. A crowd develops and lines the edges of the pool to watch the race. Eddie again kicks off as if he is trying to move the pool wall. Barbara asks Kathy and Paula, "Did you guys see that?" Paula asks, "See what?" Barbara explains, "Tessa is a faster swimmer than Eddie. She's catching up." Paula remarks, "Yeah, I can see that." Barbara tells Kathy and Paula, "But watch after the turn. Eddie will be way ahead. He must be really hammering that wall with his legs. That's how he is staying ahead. Watch, here he goes." Right before the wall, Eddie and Tessa are nearly tied, with Eddie having a slight advantage. Eddie does his final flip turn of the race and, after the turn, has again gained a few yards over Tessa. Kathy exclaims, "Wow! I can see that." As the last lap is underway, Tessa is eroding away at Eddie's lead. In the last few yards, Tessa nearly catches Eddie, but Eddie touches the wall right before Tessa. Erica finishes in fourth place, several yards behind Tessa, slightly ahead of Mark, who finishes in fifth place. Wendy completes her initiation right and finishes in a distant last place. And taking first place is Lena. It is comforting to the spectators knowing that the lifeguard won the race. They all get out of the pool and Andrea, blowing her whistle, announces that the pool is open again. Barbara tells Eddie and the rest, "Lena won the race." But between Eddie and Tessa, Eddie won, but barely. Eddie won by only a yard or two. Lena was the only one on the women's swimming team to go to state this year, so the field was rigged, per se. It does appear, however, that Tessa will be going to state next year. They all go back to the table and recover from the race. Barbara has some good news for Tessa. Barbara tells everyone, "That was a really interesting race. Tessa actually swims faster than Eddie. But after each flip turn, Eddie gained a few yards over Tessa." Paula interjects, "Yeah. I saw that when Barbara pointed it out." Kathy mentions, "If the pool was 100 yards long, Tessa would have probably won. If the pool was 10 yards long, Eddie would have won by a long shot." Barbara tells Tessa, I'm no swimming expert, but if your kickoff of the wall was a lot stronger, you'd have a far better advantage. Tessa asks, so, after each turn, Eddie gained a lot over me. Barbara replies, yeah. It was really noticeable. But, during each lap, you were doing a really good job catching him. Tessa, who is really happy, says, well, I know what I need to work on. Thank you. Tessa looks at Eddie, telling him, next year, buddy. Eddie replies, you on. Back at the tables, Kathy, noticing that Erica actually beat Mark, and came in a close fourth place, asks Erica, so, what's your story? Erica asks, what do you mean? Kathy explains, well, dear, you just finished right behind two girls on the swimming team, one of which who went to state, and Eddie, the fastest runner in the state. And you ran the 100-yard dash in what, 10.7 seconds, last spring. You're going to be a sophomore, and you're not on any teams. Everyone is waiting to hear Erica's explanation of how she is clearly athletically superior, but has absolutely no ambition to join any team. Erica casually replies, I don't really have a story. Paula replies, yeah you do, girl. You must work out or do something. Erica replies, oh, that. I am into bodybuilding. That's really all that I do. That, stretching, and some running. Kathy, finally getting her explanation, exclaims, I knew it. You had to be working out or something. No one just gets onto a track and runs a 10.7 in the 100-yard dash. Kathy knows there is more to Erica's story, and also knows she is not getting it out of Erica right now. Erica tells everyone, honestly guys, I had no idea how fast I can run or swim. Kathy whispers to Paula, that explains why she has no boobs and no body fat. She's all muscle and bones, mostly muscle. Paula whispers back, yeah. It all makes sense now. As Kathy and Paula are talking, Barbara is trying to convince Erica to try out for track, and Tessa is trying to convince her to try out for swimming. Erica, at the moment, is not too interested in either. Truth be told, Erica wants to know exactly where she stands before she tries out for anything. Erica, however, now wants to know how fast she can run. She admits to the group that, last spring, she may not have given it her absolute best on the track. Erica agrees to go to the track later this week and run a sprint with Kathy and Paula. Kathy is now satisfied knowing that Erica actually does something that explains her athletic performance. Erica clearly does not sit in front of a television, said all day long eating potato chips. And now that the race is over, everyone sits back to relax. They make plans to meet at the track later this week. Eddie mentions that it would be a good time to throw the discus. Erica mentions that she would like to try that as well. Erica is getting interested in sports because, after working with the track team, she sees how much fun competition can be, especially if you win all the time. While they are lying around in the sun, Tessa asks Eddie, so, do you have any advice on how to improve my flip turn? Eddie replies, if you want more power in your flip turn, do squats and leg presses. Barbara mentions, that's important. That's how Eddie beat you. If Eddie gained 3 yards on you at each turn, that's 9 yards during the whole race. Eddie only won by 2 yards. Tessa replies, wow. I totally get it now. I definitely get it. Tessa then tells Barbara, now, I know why you're going to school for exercise science. The swimming coach never saw things like that. Tessa is now actually happy that Eddie beat her and that Barbara noticed why Eddie won. If Tessa had won the race, no one would have noticed that her turns could benefit by more power. Tessa now knows how to improve her times, and it's not necessarily by swimming more laps. And Barbara's biggest secret is that, when it comes to athletics, she knows a whole lot more than she leads anyone to believe. They all hang around the pool until it closes. Bobby B. decides that he would like to join Eddie, Kathy, Mark, and Paula when they time Erica later this week at the track. Bobby B. wants to try his hand at the discus. He has been primarily focused on the shot put, but is ready to try something new. All of this sudden interest in the discus came from Mr. Zunday throwing the discus over Mr. Crumb's head after the last meet of the spring season. Should Mr. Zunday have known this would happen, he might have also thrown the javelin over Mr. Crumb's head too. Later that week, they all meet at the school to time Erica in the 100-yard dash and to throw the discus. Kathy drives her Porsche and arrives at the school with Eddie first. They see Bobby B. and Erica walking through the parking lot. Kathy tells Eddie, "Hey, play along with me when they walk up." Eddie replies, "Sure," not knowing what Kathy has planned. Kathy quickly gets her beach towel and carefully wraps the discus and places it neatly in the front trunk. She closes the trunk, waiting for Bobby B. and Erica to walk up. Kathy tells Eddie, "I'm going to show them that the discus is a whole lot more special than the shot put." Eddie, Kathy, Bobby B., and Erica hang around and talk as they are waiting for Mark and Paula. Mark and Paula arrive shortly after, riding their bicycles. Mark tells Kathy, "You guys are going to get all out of shape driving around." Kathy smiles and tells Mark, "We had to transport the discus. You don't expect us to just carry it around like a frisbee, do you?" Paula, immediately knowing that Eddie and Kathy are up to something, replies, "Oh yeah. That's right. I forgot about that." Paula can't wait to see what Kathy has up her sleeve. Kathy opens her front trunk and slowly unwraps the discus she wrapped earlier. Using two hands, she carefully removes the discus and holds it with two hands far in front of her body. She turns around and hands the discus to Eddie, who takes it with both arms extended. Eddie then brings the discus closer to his body, as Kathy says, "Okay, the discus has been properly removed from the transportation vehicle." Paula mentions, "Yeah. That was silly of me. I forgot you guys were bringing the discus." Kathy gets Eddie's father's surveying tape out of the trunk, treating it with just as much care. Bobby B. knows exactly what they are up to and says nothing. They then head to the track to time Erica. Kathy and Paula will be running with Erica. They decide that Bobby B. will be the starter and Eddie and Mark will be the timekeepers. Eddie and Mark head to the finish line and the women get ready to run. Kathy tells Bobby B., "The command is on your marks, set, and then go. But give us at least 2 or 3 seconds before you say go." Bobby B. replies, "Got it." At the finish line, they hear Eddie yell out, "We're ready." Bobby B. tells the three contestants, "On your marks." He waits, and the three runners appear ready. He announces, "Set." Bobby B., who rarely gets to see a race start from this close-up, is impressed by the women's form. He says, "Go," and instantaneously, the three women are gone. After they leave the starting line, he says to himself, "Wow. Now, that's really something." Kathy has an early lead, but this was her race this past season. Paula is right behind her, followed by Erica. Erica now has real competition and is running a bit faster than she did last spring. Running against two state medalists who are 2 years older than she is, Erica is not the least bit intimidated. Halfway, at 50 yards, Kathy is still in the lead and is certainly not willing to give up her position. Erica is chasing Paula as if her life depended on it. As the runners approach the finish line, Eddie and Mark have their stopwatches ready. Kathy crosses first, followed by Paula, and finally Erica. Never expecting to actually win, Erica does not care that she came in third place. She is more interested in her time. Mark and Eddie compare the times. When the women return to the finish line, Eddie, working two stopwatches, announces Kathy won. "I clocked her at 10.3. Mark tells Paula, "You ran a 10.4. Eddie looks at Erica, telling her, "You ran a 10.6. While the women are catching their breath, Kathy asks Eddie, what did she run again? Eddie tells her, a 10.6. Kathy exclaims, wow. That's good. Erica, who is seemingly clueless, asks, so, a 10.6 is good? Eddie replies, yeah. It's really good. You'll definitely make the team if you try out. Paula mentions, and that's with no starting blocks, and no one watching. Kathy adds, yeah, and those weren't our best times. Erica, who will be a sophomore next year, has never tried out for a team. She has been living in her own world of bodybuilding. She lifts weights, stretches, and runs a little, which is pretty much all she does as far as working out. But she does a lot of it. Erica has never applied her physical abilities to the sports field before. It's anyone's guess what else she might be good at. Perhaps next year everyone will find out. The group heads over to the field area, where everyone wants to give the discus a try. Eddie is going to go first and, although he is not an expert, will show everyone what he knows of the technique. Eddie and Mark lay their stopwatches on the grass, a few feet behind the discus pad. Bobby B. clears his throat and tells Erica, did you see that? Erica asks, see what? Bobby B. points out, they just laid their stopwatches on the ground in the dirt. Eddie whispers to Mark, we're busted. There's no way out of this one. Bobby B. tells Eddie and Mark, you guys are going to have to clean and sterilize those stopwatches later today. Paula whispers to Kathy, paybacks are hell. Eddie, not missing a beat, tells Bobby B, yeah, they were due for a good cleaning anyway. After demonstrating what he knows regarding how to throw the discus, Eddie throws the discus. Eddie goes out in the field to retrieve the discus and, using the tape, measures 189 feet, 3 inches. Eddie is happy with that throw, which is a little farther than his last throw a while ago. Mark goes second and throws 184 feet, 7 inches. Either Eddie's or Mark's throw could have earned a medal in this past spring's state invitational meet. When it becomes Erica's turn, she practices a few times with everyone's help. She thinks she has the technique down well enough to make a throw. Everyone stands behind Erica as she makes her first attempt. Erica throws the discus, which flies off center, but a lot farther than anyone expected. Kathy and Erica retrieve the discus and take the measurement. They measure 115 feet, 4 inches, which is awesome for a first throw. Bobby B., who has thrown the discus for fun a few times in the past, steps up to the discus pad and takes a turn. Mark tells Bobby B., don't throw it too far. You'll have to run out there to pick it up yourself. Bobby B. tosses the discus about 5 feet and asks, how's that? Mark replies, a little better than Chucky and a lot better than Jimmy O'Brien. Bobby B. gets on the discus pad again and makes a real attempt this time. Bobby B. throws the discus, which does not fly too far. Bobby B. goes out to retrieve the discus, but doesn't bother taking a measurement. He's decided to stick to the shot put. They all throw a few more times and get a good workout retrieving the discus. Erica's best throw of the afternoon is 130 feet, 9 inches, which is far better than anyone ever expected. Kathy mentions to Erica, your throws are on par with Springer. Erica asks, who's Springer? Kathy tells her, he's the guy that's been throwing the discus for the team all last year. Erica replies, oh, that guy. He wins most of the time. Kathy points out, then, so can you. Kathy wonders how Erica can be so naive. She's worked with the team for the entire year and does not know the name of the team's discus thrower. But in Erica's defense, she was paying a whole lot more attention to Bobby B than anything else going on during the track meets. Kathy points out to everyone, Eddie's discus is a 2-kilogram regulation Olympic discus. During a regular season high school meet, the discus used is usually a 1.6-kilogram discus, but the coaches can use the 2 kilogram if they agree. Paula exclaims, "So, we've been throwing the mother load." Kathy replies, "Yeah. But actually, if we had a girls' team, we'd be throwing a 1 kilogram discus." Eddie asks, "What did they throw at state?" Kathy replies, "The 2 kilogram. Eddie asks, "What did Mr. Zunde throw at Mr. Crumb?" Kathy replies, "Probably the 2 kilogram. I don't think he'd even touch the 1.6. Kathy has done a lot of homework regarding the discus. Actually, she asked her father, who helps write the state track and field rules. Paula mentions, "So, we are all better than we think we are." Kathy replies, "It would look that way." That afternoon, everyone walks away with the understanding that they are better athletes than they originally thought. To them, they think their level of performance is normal. But persons of high athletic ability tend to underestimate their relative competence and erroneously come to the conclusion that their level of performance is closer to average than it actually is. Likewise, people of lower athletic ability have a tendency to overestimate their abilities and erroneously come to the conclusion that their level of performance is far beyond what it actually is. As they are leaving the field, Bobby B. reminds Eddie and Mark, "Hey, don't forget to clean and sterilize your stopwatches. I want to see them sparkly bright the next time I see them." Mark replies, "You got it, bro." Eddie mentions, "Yeah, I'll be cleaning my discus when I get home." Mark and Paula ride away on their bicycles as Bobby B. and Erica walk to Bobby B.'s house. Kathy and Eddie put the discus and tape into the trunk and they get in the car. Kathy mentions, "A sparkly bright stopwatch. That's kind of funny." Eddie replies, "He's catching on. We'd better be careful." While they are sitting in the car, Kathy tells Eddie, "There's definitely something up with Erica." Eddie asks, "Like what?" Kathy replies, "Well, for one, she didn't even know Springer was the discus thrower." Eddie tells her, "Yeah, but she knows Bobby B. really well to make up for it." Kathy tells Eddie, "I don't know. I just can't put my finger on it." Eddie responds, telling Kathy, "She just seems a little naive. She's only a freshman." Kathy mentions, "Yeah, I would think that too if it wasn't for the comment she made at the pizzeria when Bobby B. wanted 3 breasts, and she said, 'I only have 2. That is not naive." Eddie goes on to explain, "She said she does bodybuilding. Bodybuilders generally live in their own world." Kathy also comes to the conclusion that Erica lives in her own world, quite unaware of much that goes on around her. Kathy tells Eddie, "I'll go with that for now, but I really think there's something else to her story." Eddie mentions, "Well, if there is, maybe someday you'll find out. It's probably your superpower that is getting you." Kathy exclaims, "You're right. That's why I can't just let this go." Kathy asks Eddie, "How about your superpower?" Eddie tells Kathy, "In time, she'll let you know. If you press her on it, you'll just push her away." Kathy replies, "Dang, you're right." Kathy drives off, taking Eddie back to her house. When they arrive at Kathy's house, they go in the pool for a while. Since it is a hot day, and they run around the field chasing the discus, any relief from the heat is welcome. As Eddie is holding Kathy face up in the water as she is floating, she tells him, "You know, we really shouldn't be in the pool right now." Eddie replies, "This is going to be a good one, Katerina Karakova. I can tell. But tell me why." Kathy explains, "Well, you have 2 dirty stopwatches that need to be cleaned and sterilized, and a discus that has been thrown into the dirt a few dozen times today." Eddie exclaims, "Yeah. That's right. I knew I should have been doing something else. I may not be able to sleep tonight with all that hanging over my head." Kathy tells him, "You're such a slacker." Eddie replies, "Yeah, I know. I'm sure Mark is home cleaning his stopwatch right now with Paula. His stopwatch is going to be sparkly bright." After a while, Kathy tells Eddie, hey, let's go back to Hawaii. Eddie replies, yeah. Let's do that. We were going to take Mark and Paula. Kathy exclaims, yeah. That's right. Now, I really want fried chicken again. They float around the pool a while longer, relaxing in the late afternoon sunday. Every so often they say something to each other, but, after a while, they kiss more than they talk. Time gets away from them, but they have a lot of it because it is now summer. After they get out of the pool, they make plans with Mark and Paula to go to the beach. A few days later, Eddie and Kathy meet Mark and Paula at the portal, and everyone is ready for the beach. Mark tells Kathy, hey, you're back on two wheels. Kathy replies, yeah. My car wouldn't fit in the portal. Paula asks, so, where are we going today? Kathy tells her, we have a surprise for you. When Kathy says she has a surprise, it's usually something big. Mark replies, I don't know if I'm prepared for this. Eddie reassures him, you're not. Kathy tells everyone, okay, let's go. They all walk into the portal with their bicycles, and Kathy raises her right arm and says, Hawaii, 10 a.m. today. Like last time, they arrive at the Hawaiian portal. Mark exclaims, wow. This is really weird. How did you figure this out? Kathy replies, it just popped into my head one day. We tried it, and it worked. We figure there's a bunch of these around the world. Mark asks, how do we get back home? Eddie replies, the same way. When we walk back into the portal, we're back home. Kathy tells Mark and Paula, the beach is down that road. It's not too far. And there's a restaurant that has really good fried chicken. They head down the road together to begin their day at the beach. At the end of the road, they stop for a minute. Paula exclaims, wow. Look at this place. It's beautiful. Mark mentions, yeah. This place is really cool. Looking around at the plants, terrain, and the sky, they don't see much that resembles home. Making a right turn, they go down the road a few miles. They go to the same beach as they did last time, probably because Kathy wants fried chicken again for lunch. They find a place on the beach to lie out in the sun for a few minutes, deciding what they want to do. Kathy walks to the ocean and tests the water. Kathy yells back to everyone, it's warm. They all decide to go for a swim or, more particularly, wrestle with the waves. Paula exclaims, wow. We're really in Hawaii. Am I dreaming, or what? Mark exclaims, we don't have these kind of waves at home. They ride the waves for a while, which is a bit more challenging than the beach back home. When they have had enough of the losing battle with the waves, they head back to their towels for a while. Mark and Paula decide to hunt for their own special spot on the Hawaiian beach. Eddie and Kathy do the same. The couples walk in opposite directions and will meet back in about an hour for lunch. Kathy cannot find any sand dunes, but there certainly are a lot of rocks. The beach is mostly deserted today. They've only seen one other person on the beach since they've arrived, so it's easy to find a secluded area. 100 yards down on the beach, Kathy finds the perfect spot. They sit in a sandy area nestled among a few rocks, where Kathy notices rock formations that have a strange resemblance to the portal. Kathy sits on Eddie's lap, telling him, I'm falling way behind. I have to catch up. Eddie asks, catch up? With what? Kathy reminds him, yeah. There's billions of stars in the sky. I have to catch up. Kathy embraces Eddie, giving him a very long kiss. She whispers to him, one, and embraces him a second time. After an hour or so, Kathy is a little closer to the billions of kisses she laid out for their future. On their way back to their towels, Kathy stops and puts her head on Eddie's shoulder. She asks him, how did I end up with such a good life? They hug each other, with Kathy not really expecting Eddie to answer her question. They are just glad that they have the life that they do have. As they continue walking, Eddie ponders Kathy's question and replies, "The power of love." Kathy stops again and exclaims, "That's it. The power of love. That's the difference between a wonderful life and a sucky one." Eddie replies, "It's too bad that people don't find that out earlier." Kathy is now all bubbly and ecstatic. She has just found out the secret to life. Kathy tells Eddie, "Right now, I want to hear my song. But that will have to wait until she gets home." When they arrive at their towels, they find Mark and Paula lying in the sundae. Eddie asks, "Hey, where's our lunch?" Mark, quick on his feet, replies, "Back up on the road." Eddie replies, "On the road. That would make it roadkill." Mark and Paula stand up and are more than ready for lunch. They walk up the sandy path to the road and eat at the same restaurant Eddie and Kathy ate at earlier this summer. Mark and Paula look over the menu, but Kathy has already decided what she is having. Paula asks, "So, how many other landing spots have you found with a portal?" Kathy tells her, "This is the only other one we found. But, there's got to be more." Paula suggests, "Maybe we should try the Bahamas." Mark replies, "Or the Amazon." Paula adds, "Yeah. So we can find my poor little helpless sister, who is sitting all by herself somewhere in the middle of the Amazon jungle just waiting for Mr. Fraser to come and rescue her." Kathy tells Paula, "He's already found her. He gave her the name Amber Amy. Remember?" Paula replies, "Oh, that's right. I totally forgot that my sister is safe now. I'll sleep better at night knowing that she's not going to get eaten by lions, tigers, and bears." Kathy mentions, "You're so compassionate. Remember? You were there once too." Paula replies, "That's right. Thank you for reminding me." The waitress takes their order, and everyone decides to get fried chicken with, of course, pineapple. The conversation shifts back to the Amazon. Mark mentions, "How did all this Amazon stuff get started anyway?" Kathy answers, reminding Mark, "Do you remember when Mr. Fraser said that the Centerville coach, Mr. Ruff, wanted to go to the Amazon with him next time to get some women? Mr. Fraser told him that only two of us are from the Amazon and the other two are from Paradise Island." Mark replies, "Yeah. That's right. You mean we didn't start that rumor?" Eddie replies, "No, bro. We just took it and ran with it." Kathy adds, "Yeah, literally. We ran with it. Ha ha." Mark mentions, "Talk about derailing your own train. Mr. Ruff did it to himself." Kathy tells everyone, "My father said that rumor is all around the state now, and it's found its way to other states as well." Paula mentions, "Well, we're just high school kids. We just better do what we're told and run and collect our $3,000 checks after we win a race." Kathy warns Paula, "Or worse. If we don't win, Mr. Fraser might just dump us off in the middle of the Amazon jungle, and we'll have to hunt for our own food again." Paula exclaims, "That ain't happening. I'm done hunting for my own food." Mark adds, "I heard once that someone slacked off, and he stopped winning. So, Mr. Fraser took him up in a plane, flew over the jungle, strapped a parachute to him, and pushed him out." Kathy replies, in a serious tone, "We'd better train really hard. We definitely don't want that to happen." The meal arrives, and they all try the fried chicken first. Eddie whispers to the group, "Hey. The couple in the booth next to us are eavesdropping on our conversation." Kathy and Eddie can see the couple, but Mark's and Paula's backs are to them. Hearing what Eddie said, Mark asks, "Now, who is it that Mr. Fraser told us to pick up from here and bring back?" Kathy replies, "Some girl named Callie. She's a distance runner. We have the address and her picture." Eddie asks, "How much did Mr. Fraser pay for her?" Kathy nearly chokes on her chicken listening to this conversation. Mark replies, I think about 10 grand, plus travel expenses. Paula mentions, wow. I feel special. Mr. Fraser paid 20 grand to get me. Mark tells Paula, yeah, but you came from the Amazon. That's treacherous territory. You know. Snakes, piranha, and that sort of thing. Eddie adds, yeah, and dodging all those spears thrown from all different directions. Kathy exclaims, that's right. That's where Mr. Fraser got the javelin guy. The guy was throwing spears, and Mr. Fraser just threw the guy over his shoulders and brought him back. The rumor is that the guy put up a big fight, but Mr. Fraser won. Eddie asks, the javelin thrower, what was his name? Mark replies, his real name was Ugga Bugga Bunga, but Mr. Fraser named him Johnny Spears. Kathy is laughing so hard that she is finding it difficult to eat. Kathy, trying to remain sane, blurts out, okay, we got to stop this now. Paula tells Kathy, but we have more business to talk about. We have at least 3 more stops to make this summer. Eddie whispers, okay, now that couple is giving us weird looks. They calm down a bit and do a little more eating than talking. It doesn't take Mark long to continue the conversation, asking, so what are we doing with Callie when we pick her up? Eddie replies, she's going to Paradise Island for training for about a year. Paula adds, then we're supposed to pick up the ones on Paradise Island who have completed their training and bring them back to Mr. Fraser. Mark mentions, yeah, one of the women we're picking up is a discus thrower. Paula asks, really? And what is her name? Mark replies, Libby Doe. Eddie laughs and mentions, the guys are going to really like her. Kathy has to think about that one for a minute before she gets the pun. Kathy laughing has turned into giggles. She tells them, if you guys don't stop, I'm going to have to take my chicken back to the beach and eat it there. Eddie tells Kathy, well, they are leaving anyway. Kathy replies, I'm sure they got an earful. Kathy sighs and says, okay, now I can eat. For some reason, the conversation got Kathy right in her funny bone. Finally finishing lunch, they are probably lucky that they haven't been taken away by the police. They head back to the beach and collect their stuff, and decide to ride farther down the road and see what else may be going on. Stopping at another beach, which is a bit more crowded, they hang out there for a while. They notice this beach is a lot more active, with a concession area, people having picnics, and a few sporting activities. While they are laying in the sun, a few other high school kids ask if they want to play a game of volleyball. Their group has 4 players, and figure playing with a few others might be fun. They all introduce themselves to Eddie and the rest. On the Hawaiian team are John, Kaleo, Andy, and Pika, who goes by Peter. Eddie and the group agree to play, but they tell the Hawaiian team that volleyball is not really their game. Everyone agrees to play to 11 points and see how that goes. The local guys let the visiting team serve. Eddie and Kathy play on the front line, and Mark and Paula play in the back. Mark serves first, delivering an ace. The second serve is returned, and Eddie and Kathy, on the front line, get the hang of it real fast. They volley a few times, and Kathy spikes the ball. The local guys quickly realize that they are up against 4 players that must play some sort of sport, and play it well. The third serve is returned, and Kathy sets up the ball for Eddie. Eddie fakes a spike, passing back to Kathy, who gently places the ball in a vacant area in the sand. With the score 3-0, the local guys realize they have to step up their game. But stepping up their game doesn't get them too far. Eddie, Kathy, Mark, and Paula, who always play to win, are too much for them to handle. They play for a while, but the game is a bit lopsided. Eddie and the tribe are making Hawaiian punch out of the local team. Once the score is 10-2, Peter asks, okay, are we supposed to know you guys or something? Are you guys famous? Eddie replies, no. We're just visiting. Peter replies, "We hadn't seen you around before." Paula serves, and the serve is returned. Eddie sets up the ball for Mark, who spikes the ball, ending the game. After the game, John mentions, "You guys are good. You play like the Olympic beach volleyball teams." Kaleo asks, "So, what sports do you guys play?" Kathy, answering for the group, says, "We all run track." "That's it." Peter mentions, "Hey, that's my sport." Peter then asks, "Does anyone want to race?" Eddie replies, "Sure. As long as it's a sprint." Peter, who is apparently the local track star, is looking for a chance to redeem himself after the embarrassing volleyball loss. Peter asks, "So, who am I going to race against?" Eddie asks, "Who do you want to race against?" Peter asks, "Who's the fastest?" Kathy, Mark, and Paula all reply, "Eddie." Peter says, "Well, then Eddie it is." While they are walking to the end of the parking lot, Mark asks Peter, "Are you sure you don't want to race the girls?" Peter replies, "No. I'll beat the girls. They are too easy." Kathy, with noticeable energy behind her, replies, "Oh no, you won't." Kathy is not about to let Peter's casual comment just fly by. Kaleo tells Peter, "Hey, man. It looks like the girl is throwing you a challenge." Taking the offer, Peter tells everyone, "Okay. I'll race both of them." Kathy, who smiles, is up for the challenge. After all, she won the silver medal at the state invitational meet, and Eddie won the gold. It's not likely anyone can beat either of them. When they get to the end of the parking lot, Peter asks, "How about we race to the other end of the parking lot?" Eddie looks at the parking lot and asks Mark, "What is that?" "About 200 feet. Mark replies, "Yeah, it's longer than 40 yards, but less than 100 yards. Kaleo volunteers to start the race, and everyone not running in the race heads to the finish line, wherever that may be. Once everyone else gets to the finish line, Kaleo asks, "Are you guys all ready?" Everyone says they are ready to run. Kaleo tells them, "Okay. I'll say, ready, set, go, and then you go." Mark, from the other side of the parking lot, yells out, "We're ready whenever you are." Kaleo tells them, "Ready." After a pause, he says, "Set." Paying no attention to whether anyone is either ready or set, he says, "Go." Fortunately, everyone was ready when Kaleo gave the command. Eddie, Kathy, and Peter take off, with Kathy and Eddie clearly leading the race. Kaleo runs and follows the group, so he can get a better view of the finish. Halfway through the race, Eddie and Kathy are very close. Peter, who is very far behind them, is probably wondering what planet his competition is from. It's now a race between Eddie and Kathy. They approach the finish, and Eddie beats Kathy by a slight margin. Peter, unfortunately, finishes far behind Eddie and Kathy. Andy and John waste absolutely no time pointing out to Peter that the girl beat him. Peter asks, "Where are you guys from anyway?" Mark replies, "The mainland. We head back later today." Andy asks, "So, is this your first trip here?" Kathy replies, "Me and Eddie have been here before, but it's Mark and Paula's first trip. The Hawaiian guys and Eddie's tribe walk down the beach, back to the volleyball courts. They talk for a while, and everyone is glad to have the chance to meet each other. When it comes time to go, they unlock their bicycles and get ready to leave. Andy takes a look at Eddie's and Mark's bicycles, exclaiming, "Wow, man. Nice bikes." Andy asks, "Are they yours?" Mark mentions, "Yeah. We brought them with us. That's how we get around." Andy looks over the bicycles and, although he is somewhat familiar with bicycle racing, has never seen a track bicycle up close before. A track bicycle, meant for flat ground, is not exactly what you'd expect to see on the steep roads of Hawaii. The two groups say goodbye to each other, and Eddie and the group head out to the Hawaiian portal. After Eddie and the group leave, Peter tells his buddies, there's definitely something up with those guys. John mentions, what's up is that they are all really good athletes. They are good at everything. Peter replies, yeah, I'd say. I've never seen anyone as fast as they are. Andy mentions, and those bicycles. That's what the bicycle racers ride. Kaleo mentions, maybe they'll be back. They are really nice, even though they kicked our butt. When they ride up the road to the portal, Mark mentions, if we come back here, I need to do something with the gearing on my bicycle. Eddie tells Mark, you can probably put a 19 or a 20 tooth sprocket back there without having to mess with the chain. Mark, pedaling as hard as he can, tells Eddie, you're hired. It sounds like Mark will be making a trip to Vito's sometime in the near future. When they arrive at the portal, they take one last look around. Paula exclaims, this place is really beautiful. Mark replies, we'll definitely be back here again. Kathy tells everyone, wait a second. I'll be right back, as she walks off the path. Eddie asks, where are you going? Kathy replies, to get a souvenir. Picking a pineapple off of a pineapple plant, Kathy takes it back to her bicycle and puts it in her handlebar bag. Kathy tells everyone, okay, now we can go back. They enter the portal and find themselves back home on Saturday morning when they left. Paula asks, okay, now what? After that trip, what do you do for an encore? Mark replies, we can make the trip to Paradise Island and pick up Mr. Fraser's athletes who have finished their training. Kathy exclaims, oh no. Don't do this to me again. I thought this was over. Eddie mentions, yeah, Paradise Island. I wonder if the portal can bring us there. Kathy asks, what if it's a one-way ticket and we can't get back? Paula replies, then, we'll just fly back in Wonder Woman's invisible airplane. They all decide to get lunch, but then remember that they already had lunch back in Hawaii. But that was hours ago, so a slice of pizza will help them make it to dinner. They all head to the pizzeria and get a mid-afternoon snack. On the way, they drop off Kathy's pineapple at her house. After lunch, Mark and Paula go to the pool, and Eddie and Kathy head to Kathy's house. Over the next few weeks, Eddie makes a few more trips into the future to find out which stocks will perform well. He finds a few good prospects and invests his money, knowing ahead of time what the return on his investment will be. Eddie finds some very lucrative stocks, but some of the companies do not yet exist during his time. He'll have to wait to make those investments, but he'll be getting in on the ground floor. He also continues to buy gold in the present and sell it in the future. With all the money Eddie can potentially make, he could purchase a brand new car when he gets his driver's license. But instead, he would rather completely rebuild his MGB given to him by Angelo. In the next few weeks, Eddie has the engine of his MGB completely disassembled. He figures that, if he is going to rebuild the engine, he might as well do it properly. At Angelo's recommendation, he has the cylinders bored out and rebuilds the engine using oversized pistons. He also has the cylinder head remachined to accommodate oversized valves. Eddie also purchases a balanced crankshaft and camshaft. This will give a modest increase over the 91 horsepower factory specification, but he'll have to wait to see how well it performs. Although it takes him a while, when Eddie is finally finished with the engine, it will be in perfect condition. Instead of rebuilding the overdrive box, he purchases a new one. Eddie and Kathy spend the remainder of the summer working out and at the pool. With the beginning of the school year right around the corner, Kathy gets the idea that she wants to go school shopping. But, this year, Kathy's idea of school shopping is a little different from anyone else's. Kathy tells Eddie, I want to go school shopping, but I want to get something from the future and bring it back. You know, something that no one else can have. Eddie asks, like what? Kathy replies, I really don't know yet. Maybe a blouse or pair of blue jeans. I want something that's unique. Eddie mentions, well, that should be easy enough. Kathy, who is a bit on the impulsive side today, tells Eddie, okay, so let's go now. They get on their bicycles and head to the portal. When they arrive at the portal, Kathy picks a date 25 years into the future, since she has been there before and likes the fashion of the time. They head to the mall, which appears nearly the same on the outside as they know it. On the inside, however, it is a different story. Many of the stores that they are familiar with are now gone and replaced by stores they've never heard of. They shop around for a while as Kathy and Eddie take notice of the drastic changes in fashion. Kathy is drawn to a pair of blue jeans with no waistband, but rather a drawstring in place of a belt. She tries them on, and Eddie tells her, "They really look good on you. You should get them." Kathy really wants to buy them, but she is concerned that they may attract a lot of attention. She asks Eddie, "What if someone knows that they are, well, you know, like can't be bought or something?" Eddie tells her, "Get them anyway. You can always tell them that someone made them for you. It's really not a lie. Someone in a factory somewhere did make them for you." Kathy replies, "Okay, you convinced me. I'm getting them." It didn't take too much to convince Kathy to buy them. Kathy looks around at a few more items and finds a shirt that she really likes. The shirt is very short, which sports her belly button and shows a hint of her six-pack abs. But this shirt was manufactured this way and is quite nice, as opposed to the scissored cutoffs seen during her time. She chooses four shirts of that style and goes back to get a second pair of the drawstring blue jeans. Kathy also picks out two pairs of drawstring shorts, similar in style to her blue jeans. Kathy is now set, and they head to the checkout counter. While they are waiting in line, Eddie tells Kathy, "You know, you might just set a fashion trend, especially with those shirts." Kathy tells Eddie, "Maybe. But I can tell you one thing. Paula is going to want a shirt like these." After checking out, Kathy and Eddie leave the mall and head back to the portal. On the way back to Kathy's house, Eddie tells Kathy, "You're going to be a real hit when you get back to school." Kathy asks, "How do you mean?" Eddie explains, "The Porsche, the blue jeans, the sexy shirt." Kathy replies, "Yeah, well, we'll see who copies me." Eddie also tells Kathy, "You know, Mr. Crumb is probably going to suspend you for wearing that shirt." Kathy replies, "He can't. The school doesn't have a dress code." Eddie remarks, "Well, knowing Mr. Crumb, he'll write a dress code just for you." Kathy replies, "Yeah, I want to see that. But, as funny as that is, I wouldn't put it past him." Eddie, yanking on Kathy's chain, tells her, "And then he'll make a rule that students can't drive a Porsche 914. Kathy tells Eddie, "Well, if he ever did that, I'll get him back really good. I'll tell you more about that later." They ride into Kathy's driveway, and Kathy tells Eddie, "Come inside with me. I'm doing laundry." Kathy can't wait to wear her new clothes. While Kathy is getting her laundry together, Eddie asks, "So, what was that about getting Mr. Crumb back?" Kathy replies, "Oh, that. Do you know those two big trees where his special little reserved parking place for his piece of shit Volkswagen Beetle is?" Eddie replies, "Yeah. Across from the tennis courts." Kathy replies, "Yeah, those. Well, when I was a freshman, some of the seniors picked up his Volkswagen Beetle and stuck it long ways between the trees. And he couldn't get it out. They never did figure out who did it. But the rumor was that some of the football players put his car there." Eddie laughs and replies, "You're ace in the hole." Kathy informs Eddie, "Well, I'm a senior this year, and seniors pull pranks. And besides, they'll never suspect the girls." Eddie replies, "Yeah. Girls are delicate and fragile, like little flowers. Boys are rough and tough, like tree trunks." Kathy exclaims, "Yeah. See that? If they ever suspect me, I'll use that line." While Kathy is waiting for the laundry to finish, they sit by the pool and relax. Kathy tells Eddie, "Okay, so you convinced me." Not quite understanding, Eddie asks, "Convinced you of what?" Kathy replies, "I'm sticking Mr. Crumb's car between the two trees, just for fun." Eddie asks, "How did I convince you to do that?" Kathy tells him, "Because I'm a delicate and fragile little flower." Eddie replies, "Yeah, right. Your state medals and that primal scream really give that away." Kathy explains to Eddie, "I'm going to get Paula, Tessa, and Erica to help. No one would ever suspect us delicate and fragile little flowers." Kathy goes inside and moves her laundry to the dryer. She calls Paula and explains her plan to move Mr. Crumb's car. While they are talking, Eddie whispers to her, "I guess us rough and tough guys will be the lookouts." Paula is 100% in on the plan. Kathy calls Tessa and Erica, and they also agree to help. They set the date, which is during the week before school starts. Since the teachers have to be in school a week before the students, this would be the perfect time. Part of the plan is to go to the track afterward and wait to see what happens. After the laundry is done, Kathy puts her clothes away. She tells Eddie that she plans to wear the shorts and shirt to work tomorrow to see if anyone notices. Kathy and Eddie go back outside and hang out by the pool. Eddie asks, "So, what's the plan?" Kathy explains, "Well, we go to the school in the afternoon. All the teachers will be in their meetings, and that's when we move Mr. Crumb's car. They all leave by 3 o'clock. So, then we go to the track and run for a while, throw the discus, and watch what happens." Eddie replies, asking, "So, we all sit back and watch the fun?" Kathy replies, "Exactly. If we did this when we were in school, we might miss the fun when Mr. Crumb sees it." The next day, Kathy gets dressed for work, wearing her new outfit. Since it is still summer, she wears her drawstring shorts and a shirt that comes to right above her belly button. Kathy's mother tells her, "That really looks nice on you." Kathy replies, "Thanks. I got it at the mall yesterday." Kathy got her first compliment, which she is very happy about. Kathy certainly did not want to hear her mother tell her to return the outfit. Kathy then drives to Paula's house. When she arrives, Paula quickly notices Kathy's new outfit. Paula exclaims, "Look at you, girl." Kathy tells Paula, "Yeah, I really like it. I picked it out myself." Paula asks, "Where did you get it?" Kathy replies, "At the mall, sort of." Paula asks, "Sort of?" Kathy explains, "Yeah, at the mall, but 25 years from now." Paula exclaims, "You didn't?" Paula then tells Kathy, "Okay, I want something like that, especially the shirt." Kathy tells her, "Okay, but you can't get anything exactly like mine." Paula tells her, "Never. But I definitely want something like it." On the way to work, Kathy tells Paula where she got it. Paula decides to make a trip through the portal and pick up something similar. When they arrive at work, everyone notices Kathy's new outfit, fortunately in a positive way. After seeing the reaction to Kathy's new style, Paula is now convinced more than ever that she wants something similar. They make plans to head to the portal together after work, so Paula can pick something out. With the reaction Kathy got today, she considers buying a few more items to complement her new wardrobe. After work, Eddie and Mark are informed of the day's plans. Mark suggests that they all get a bite to eat before they go shopping, adding that girls have a tendency to spend hours at the mall. After they eat, they all head to the portal together. Kathy takes them to 25 years in the future, to the time she bought her new wardrobe. They return to the mall, where Kathy will continue her school shopping and Paula will start hers. Kathy shows Paula where she got the jeans and shorts. It doesn't take Paula very long to pick something out. Kathy finds a top that drapes around only one shoulder, leaving the other exposed, has only one sleeve, and is cut above the belly button. She finds a similar top that is sleeveless. This is a style that none of them have seen before. Kathy tries them on and decides to get both. Paula finds a few shirts similar to Kathy's, but a slightly different style. Paula also finds a few fashionable halter tops and decides to get them. Since there are so many styles of drawstring blue jeans, Paula picks up a few of her own. Mark was right. The girls spent 2 hours shopping. But they came away with a wardrobe that will certainly turn heads. They return to their time, with some laundry to do before school starts. On the way home, Paula asks, "How will we explain where we got our clothes from if someone asks?" Mark replies, "You didn't think of that one." Kathy explains, "Eddie said to tell anyone who asks that someone made them for me. After all, someone did make them, but like in a factory somewhere." Paula replies, "Yeah, that will definitely work." Paula and Mark head to Paula's house. Kathy and Eddie ride to Kathy's house. Not surprisingly, Kathy and Paula will both spend the afternoon doing laundry. Kathy and Paula are really excited and can't wait to wear their new outfits to school. The week before school starts, Kathy and her cohorts meet at the high school in the afternoon to move Mr. Crumb's car. Kathy assures everyone that the girls can move the car by themselves. Eddie, Mark, and Bobby B head to the track, entering the schoolyard through the south gate. This is the gate near where Eddie belted Chucky to the fence. The girls head to the front of the school and into the back parking lot where the teachers park. Hoffer will be the lookout and stations himself at the front door. They hang around for a while, making sure there is no unusual activity around the school. Kathy, Paula, Tessa, and Erica casually walk through the parking lot. They stop at Mr. Crumb's car. Kathy tells them, "Let's make sure we can lift it first." They lift the car by the rear fenders and bumper and let it down again. They are surprised at how easily they can lift Mr. Crumb's Volkswagen Beetle. They look over at Hoffer, who gives them the thumbs up. Eddie and the guys watch from the track as Kathy and her team plan to move Mr. Crumb's car. Mark sees Mr. Zunde walking out to the track. Mark tells Eddie and Bobby B, "Uh-oh. We're busted. Here comes trouble." Eddie and Bobby B turn around, also seeing Mr. Zunde walking toward the track. Eddie replies, "No, bro. Here comes our alibi." Eddie makes a throw and goes out into the red zone to retrieve his discus. When Eddie returns to the discus pad, Mr. Zunde is just walking up. Mr. Zunde says to them, "School doesn't start until next week. What are you guys doing here?" Eddie replies, "We just came to practice the discus and run a little." Mr. Zunde tells them, "I was walking out to make sure the fields were in good shape. You never know what could have happened to them over the summer." Eddie shows Mr. Zunde his discus, telling him, "Kathy bought this for me." They are on their way. They should be here any time now with Hoffer. Mr. Zunde offers, "If you'd like, I can show you a few things about the throw." Mark replies, "Sure, we'd love that." While Mr. Zunde is helping Eddie, Mark, and Bobby B with their discus technique, Kathy and the girls have successfully pushed Mr. Crumb's car off the parking lot and onto the grass. They are now turning the vehicle and wedging it between the two trees. They periodically look over at Hoffer, who gives them the thumbs up. Little by little, they wedge the Volkswagen Beetle between the two trees. Once they are done, they walk past the front of the school, with Hoffer joining them. Then walking around the school to the south entrance of the field, they make their way to the track where they will join up with the rest of the group. As they approach, they see Mr. Zunde instructing the guys on how to throw the discus. Mr. Zunde, seeing the women, asks them, "Are you here to throw too?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. I'm trying out for the discus next spring." Mr. Zunde spends considerable time working with them regarding proper discus technique. Mr. Zunde is impressed by how good they all are. After throwing the discus for a while, They all hear a commotion off in a distance, in the direction of the teacher's parking lot. Everyone wisely ignores the disturbance, knowing exactly what is going on. Mr. Zunde also hears the commotion, paying it not one bit of attention. Mr. Crumb, looking around the schoolyard, tries to find who may have wedged his car between the two trees. He sees no one in the front of the school. There are a few people playing tennis on the far court, but they are engrossed in their game. Mr. Crumb, seeing a crowd out on the track, thinks he may have found the perpetrators. He heads out to the field, waddling faster than he has in years. Mr. Crumb is on track to do the 300-yard walk in 4 minutes. As he gets closer, he recognizes a few of the people on the track. Back at the discus pad, Kathy runs out into the field to retrieve the discus after her throw. Mr. Crumb approaches the group and, seeing Mr. Zunde, exclaims, "These guys moved my car." Mr. Zunde calmly asks, "Mr. Crumb, what are you talking about?" Mr. Crumb replies, "These guys, they stuck my car between two trees." Eddie replies, "No, we didn't." Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Crumb, "See? They said they didn't do it. It must have been someone else." Kathy returns with the discus and asks, "Who's next?" Mark tells Kathy, "I think it's my turn." Kathy hands the discus to Mark, who gets on the discus pad. Mr. Crumb yells at Mark, telling him, "Put that thing down." Pointing to the field where he is about to throw it, Mark replies, "I will." About 200 feet in that direction. Mark throws the discus, and Mr. Zunde tells him, "That was a nice throw, but try to get the angle a little higher next time." Mark then heads out to the field to retrieve the discus. Mr. Crumb yells at Mr. Zunde, "Are you just going to ignore me?" Mr. Zunde replies, "Yes." Mr. Crumb exclaims, "These guys moved my car. They are not going to get away with it." Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Crumb, "I came out here to examine the fields, to check their condition. I saw the guys walk through the student parking lot and toward the track an hour ago. The women came in right behind them. They were nowhere near your car. We've been right here, all along, working on their discus technique." Eddie tells Mr. Crumb, "We didn't move your car." Mr. Crumb, yelling at Eddie, exclaims, "Yes, you did. And I'm going to prove it." Eddie tells Mr. Crumb, in a matter-of-fact tone, "If I moved your car, I would move it to a junkyard." Everyone, including Mr. Zunde, laughs hysterically at Eddie's comment. Mr. Crumb then exclaims, "How about the girls? They could have moved it." Kathy, with a crafty smile, tells Mr. Crumb, "Girls are fragile and delicate, like little flowers. And besides, cars are big and very, very heavy." Everyone again laughs, especially Mr. Zunde, who knows Kathy is anything but delicate and fragile. Mr. Crumb exclaims, "You're not getting away with this." Since Mr. Crumb used a vague singular and not a plural expression, Kathy asks, "Which one of us isn't getting away with what? Please be clear. Your English is very confusing." Mr. Crumb brashly replies, "All of you. None of you are getting away with this." Mr. Crumb briskly walks away, hitting a brick wall with Mr. Zunde and the students. After a few minutes, Mr. Zunde tells the group, "I'm going to go see what he's talking about. This should be interesting. I'll see you all next week." Once Mr. Zunde is gone, Eddie suggests, "Maybe we should go help the poor little pathetic weasel out." Kathy replies, "I have a better idea." Eddie asks, "What's that?" Kathy replies, "I'll move his car out from between the trees myself." Eddie asks, "Do you think you can do that?" Kathy replies, "I think so." They catch up to Mr. Zunde. Eddie tells Mr. Zunde, "We want to see what we supposedly did." They arrive at Mr. Crumb's car and see Mr. Crumb standing there, scratching his head, puzzled about what to do next. Purely to irritate and inflame Mr. Crumb, Mr. Zunde asks him, "Why don't you just move it yourself?" Mr. Crum exclaims, it's a car. You can't just pick it up and move it. That's all Kathy needed to hear to get her adrenaline going. Kathy tells Mr. Crum, get out of the way, Junior. Kathy puts her back to the front fender and lifts the wheel just enough to be able to slide the car over a little. She does the same with the rear fender. Little by little, she gets the car to move. Mr. Zunday is amazed at Kathy's strength. Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Crum, look at that. Kathy can move your car all by herself, and you can't. Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Crum, just don't stand there, Crum. Get your ass over there and help her. Kathy stands aside and tells Mr. Crum, go for it. Mr. Crum gives it a try and cannot budge the car an inch. Mr. Zunday whispers to Eddie, your dad couldn't have been more right about Mr. Crum running a pussy factory. He's the head pussy. Erica tells Mr. Crum, get out of the way. Everyone's eyes are now wide open, and Erica takes her turn. Erica, who has far more strength than anyone realizes, lifts the front of the car by the fender and slides it a bit more. She then moves the rear of the car. Inch by inch, she is able to move Mr. Crum's car. Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Crum, Crum, you should be totally embarrassed today. These girls are stronger than you are. Mr. Zunday never passes up the opportunity to mess with Mr. Crum. Eddie suggests that they all pick the car up and carry it the rest of the way. They all get in position with Eddie, Mark, Kathy, and Paula in the rear, and Bobby B., Hoffa, Tessa, and Erica in the front. Eddie says, on three. One, two, three. They all lift the car with ease and carry it back to the parking lot. Eddie says, okay, on three, we drop it. One, two, three. They drop Mr. Crum's car, which takes a little bounce. Mr. Crum yells at Eddie, saying, don't drop my car. Eddie, a bit ticked off by Mr. Crum's attitude, says, fine, then. We'll put it right back where we found it. Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Crum, these guys just helped you out. You should be a little more grateful and show your appreciation. And let me point out something to you. Erica, who will be a sophomore next year, can easily move your car and you couldn't budge it an inch. That should concern you. May I suggest that you visit the weight room this next year? Mr. Crum brashly replies, I don't have time for that. Mark comments, yeah, he's got to push his pencil around. Since school is not in session, Mr. Crum really cannot do anything to the students. Mr. Crum hastily walks back inside and is quite unappreciative of the help he received. Mr. Zunday, who is not naive at all, asks, okay, which one of you moved his car? Knowing they just got busted, Kathy replies, well, we kind of did. All the girls confess, and Mr. Zunday tells them, great job. That was quite entertaining. I am quite impressed by your strength. Kathy tells Mr. Zunday, please don't tell Mr. Crum. Mr. Zunday replies, tell him what? I didn't see anything or hear anything out here. Mr. Zunday tells them, we'll see you next week, and heads back to the gym. Everyone heads to the pizzeria, reassured that they really didn't get busted. After they get a bite to eat, Eddie and Kathy go to Kathy's house. They sit by the pool for a while and relax. Kathy tells Eddie, that was really nice of Mr. Zunday not to bust us. Eddie tells Kathy, it's obvious whose side he's on. Kathy tells Eddie, yeah. Whatever side Mr. Crum is on, Mr. Zunday is on the opposite side. Eddie tells Kathy, yeah, I've noticed that. It's the same thing with Mr. Fraser. Mr. Zunday and Mr. Fraser are always on the same page. Kathy mentions, Mr. Crum must have really done something to seriously tick them off a long time ago. I wonder what it was. Eddie tells her, since Mr. Crum hates sports, that would be a good enough reason. Eddie tells Kathy, the summer before I entered high school, me, Mark, and the guys were at the county pool. We ran into a guy who was in college when Jimmy O'Brien cracked his head open. I think the guy's name was Bill Deutscher or something. He told us that he graduated 2 years ago. He told us that Northside had a good track team, wrestling team, and football team. I remember him saying to watch out for that principal, Mr. Crum. Kathy replies, Bill Deutscher. I can't say I've ever heard that name before. Kathy then asks, what's this about Jimmy O'Brien cracking his head open? Eddie explains, he tried to do a somersault off the diving board and hit his head. The lifeguards had to dive in and rescue him. Kathy sighs, telling Eddie, well, that explains a lot. Eddie asks, how so? Kathy replies, how he's so inept. Eddie reassures Kathy, O'Brien was inept long before he cracked his head open on the diving board. Kathy replies, you're probably right about that. Kathy and Eddie get in the water, which is warmer than the air. Kathy tells Eddie, it's warm in the pool, and it's getting cooler out. We'll just have to spend the whole night in the pool. Kathy puts her legs around Eddie's waist and her arms around his neck. Kathy whispers to Eddie, I love you. Eddie whispers back, I love you. Kathy reminds Eddie, I'm falling behind again. All those stars up there in the sky. I need to catch up. Kathy embraces Eddie, and more stars come out as the night sky hides them from the world. Kathy has a lot of catching up to do.